Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back, everyone, to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so, so excited to have you here. And actually, Dan is out on this episode, but I have brought in a special guest for you. His name is Dave Elliott, and he has been huge in just working with me in my life and really bringing some magic to the table. So I am so, so excited to just share with you and have him share with you guys some of the amazing insights that he really has learned over the years. So Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sophie. Glad to be here. Thanks very much for the invitation.
Yeah. So for a lot of our viewers or our listeners, they probably don't know much about you or what you do, but we both know how magical and really powerful that is. So would you mind just sharing a little bit about your background and how you've come about to get to where you are today?
Sure. So specifically, I have been coaching for close to a decade since I left corporate America behind and decided that I had this gift that I wanted to share. The area that I mostly work in is I work in the area of relationships. For me personally, it was the area that I most needed to learn. I had come out of a divorce in 1999, gradually realized from that difficult situation that there was stuff about relationships that I needed to learn in order to make sure that didn't happen again. So I basically spent a bunch of time studying the best of the best so that I could make sure that didn't happen. And then I started to get pretty good and was able to get a result for me, get a result for a lot of clients. And now the best part is I get to pay it forward and talk with amazing people all over the world every day, pretty much, and help them get the results that they want. So specifically what I do, I work with a lot of women, more women than men, some couples, but I also work with a lot of women. And the main thing I do most of the day is I help them heal their wounds from the past, help them understand and appreciate men, so that they can pull the best from them rather than suffering through the worst. So essentially, that's what I do, and I love it.
Awesome, awesome. And so for a lot of our listeners on here, there's a few things that are popping out. Number one, it's healing those wounds. And this is a sensitive topic for a lot of people, especially the high achievers out there. So we don't really like to admit that we have those.
Right.
It's more about buckling down and going. What has been your experience, especially with working with a lot of women, who tend to come to you with, you know, whatever the problem is, whether they're looking for a relationship or they're struggling in their relationship, and what shows up?
Well, first of all, a couple of things. One, I think you can't really look at the area of wounds and high achievers and not draw the direct correlation between them, that a lot of times people that are the most sensitive or feel like they have the most to prove or be the ones who use it as fuel, they turn it into fuel, and they become quite successful because they need to be driven in order to overcompensate in a lot of ways, yeah. In order to be good enough. So you can't get one without the other. They frequently travel together. And the other thing is, because I work with probably more women than men, there's another aspect of the masculine and feminine energy dynamic. Mm-hmm. And because feminine navigates more from emotion rather than logic, analysis, solving problems, fixing things kind of thing, it's way more painful for the feminine, those limiting beliefs and those fears and those areas that she needs to kind of somehow, you know, compensate and overcome. So that's a really important area where once you do that work, when you do that healing work and you get to that place where you no longer are kind of starting from a deficit, I think it makes a huge difference. So, and I think the difference is when you heal those wounds rather than struggling to achieve and kind of clawing your way to success, you find yourself kind of, you get put in the place where you literally success is pulled to you because you're coming from a place where, you know, the right people are drawn to you at the right time for the right reason. And you're just, because you've done your work and you're in a great place. So I think that's the magic spot where you do your work and you get rid of all that effort when you're fighting against yourself and you find you're just pulled to success, which I think is really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. And I love that you bring that up because we've talked previously in episodes about this concept of becoming magnetic, where you literally are, you're so whole and you're so complete that you just attract so many more opportunities to you. And it sounds like that's something that you do when you're doing your work. It really is that process of helping them become whole in a sense.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned magnetic. Like one of the things that I created was something called the Man Magnetics Formula. And magnetics is an acronym. And it basically, I use it to unpack the nine things that men are looking for that makes the difference between a woman who is a keeper and one who keeps away from. And so that's one of the sites that I have out there where I teach these concepts. Mm. And it just works in a bunch of different areas. But yeah, I think when you do the work, you literally become magnetic. The right people, the right time, in the right way, come for the right reason. And I think that's why it's so important for you to do the work and just be proactive rather than reactive. Mm. And that way things come to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge open loop for the listeners here. So we'll be Absolutely. Sure to post a link down below for you guys so you can actually check out. And then did you want to give them some information on how they can really find those 9 things that men are really looking for?
Oh, sure. Yeah. If someone's interested in that, there's a whole site on it. It's called manmagnetics.com. And they can go there, and there's a free video up front, or actually there's like 4 free videos. I teach about communication strategies, how to communicate elegantly and effectively and efficiently with masculine. And then I talk about, you know, understanding these differences and the energy, and just a bunch of great free content. There's probably a couple of hours of free stuff on there. And I think you can make a real profound difference. And it's about getting to that place where you start to understand the real amazing benefits of understanding what masculine energy brings for you, and it's powerful. So yeah, thanks very much for letting me mention it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I love that you're bringing up this concept of masculine and feminine, especially me being a woman. Dan's not on this right now, but he would love it. And really understanding for the women that are out there and for the women that are listening, having to wear this masculine mask in a sense, right? Are really living in it to, in a way, kind of achieve at a certain level. What are, I guess, more of a broad question, some of the words of wisdom or some of the patterns that you've seen with a lot of the women that you've worked with who are higher achievers?
Oh, this is a rich one. So actually, you mentioned the mask, and the mask, if it was just one mask, that would be easier. The problem is we put mask over mask over mask over mask over mask, and we kind of forget who we are in the intervening years. So it's like a lot of times one is a way to mitigate and improve on another aspect that we think is missing, and then what it really does is mask just gets in the way of being authentically who you are and mm-hmm. just showing up in your innate power and brilliance and who you are mm-hmm. authentically and powerfully. And so, yeah, the masks can get in the way again, but the bottom line is it all comes to serve at some point. Like I said, a lot of times it's that initial wounding that causes the overcompensation that will drive success. And then there's that whole idea of like, you know, what got you to this level won't get you to the next level. So at some point you'll get to a level where life gets a lot better if you could just find a way to strip off some of those masks as well and get down to who you really are. And that's, I think, where you can like drive and get to that sweet spot where you're achieving and it almost becomes effortless again because you're drawn to it and people are drawn to you and you're not having to overcompensate constantly.
Yeah, I love that. I guess having done some work with you personally, really understanding those wounds was huge because you go to all these seminars and these events and these workshops and you think you're good.
Right.
And then something shows up and you're like, well, what the fuck?
Right? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, and it's just, again, personally, for the listeners out there, it's just like, especially in your relationships, your personal relationships, where you're not understanding why it's like this person's wanting to either step away from you or step back or they're clingy or you're self-sabotaging relationships or what's happening in that. And for me, it was profound to really understand that, oh, I'm doing this. It's not him or every other guy before him or every other relationship. It's me.
Right. And furthermore, it's not them that's doing it, but they're also actually doing you a favor. Because the analogy that I use with my clients is it's like, you know, if you brush up against the desk, the assumption is it's smooth. But if you get snagged, there's a splinter. And, they need to bring some attention to that. Or ladies, you have a nail and you run it across a silk blouse and all of a sudden you get a pull. It just says, oh, that needs some attention. And it's the same way, especially in the area of relationship. If you live by yourself and you're single and you don't literally having someone else rub up against you in your space and showing you these rough spots that have yet to be healed, well, then they can just live there kind of quietly under the surface and no one knows until someone comes along and triggers them. You're like, take a look at that. I didn't even know that was there. I thought we had handled this. But it's really powerful and profound. And I think when you take a look at it and say, what's that bringing up? That's a lot more resourceful way to handle that realization than, oh my God, what is wrong with me? Why do I always do this, right? And I think that's the tendency most people have, is they start to blame themselves. And you know, Tony Robbins, one of my mentors, says, I think most people's problem is they think they shouldn't have problems. The truth of the matter is these are kind of signposts on the road, and they kind of lead you along so that you can do your own work and grow and learn and achieve and be the best version of the best you. Mm-hmm. Without those signposts that we get to check in on, you know, you really can't do that. So gratitude for all of it. So good for you for jumping in and doing that work as soon as you recognized it.
Yeah, it took a while, if we're completely honest, a few relationships to realize that. And I think that's the biggest thing, especially for a lot of our listeners out there, is at some point you recognize that there's a pattern. It doesn't matter how many men you date or how many women you date. You're the common denominator.
You would think that. There's a lot of people that can continue doing it. And that's the thing, you know, because they don't see it, they're in it. But I think that's really powerful where someone can step back and say, the best question you can ask is, what is my role in this? And not from a place of blaming, but from a place of like, how do I show up as the best version of me? And how do I figure out what this is showing me? And where's the gift here? Like, these are powerful questions. Where's the gift here is so much better than what the F is wrong with me. It's such a better question, because your mind's going to answer whatever question you put to it. What do I need to notice is a way higher quality question than, oh my God, why do I always do that? What's wrong with me? Because your mind will answer that question.
Absolutely. And so I'm sure a lot of people out there are curious. They're like, and I'm sure we're probably going to get a lot of comments down below about asking, well, what's happening like in these relationships if my partner's pulling away, or if I can't always seem to find the wrong guy who always wants to leave or who always wants to hurt me. And I know that you and I have had some conversation about this, and your wisdom is so profound. I'd love to just have you give a little insight to those listening on what some of the reasons may be behind how these different relationships show up.
Well, in that particular instance where you just mentioned, like if you find yourself, and you don't see it in real time, oftentimes it's got to happen a little bit later because it becomes clear. Because when you first meet someone, you don't even meet them really. You meet their personal representative. They're more polished and put together, and they're on their best behavior, first date kind of thing. And then over time, you get to see, once the guard's down and relaxed, you get to see who they really are, where they are. One of the things that I see over and over again for people who detect a pattern of, say, unavailable partners, men or women, if someone says, I keep meeting these unavailable men or women, I would say, well, where are you unavailable? Mm. And then I was like, well, it's not me, it's them. But where are you unavailable? And when you start to kind of own it down, like, I really do kind of pull in and protect, and I really do have these masks, and I really do kind of keep people at arm's length. Okay. Unavailable, unavailable, unavailable. All those areas where you see it, and people respond to your energy. So it's kind of perfect, but people don't see it. They see it in the rearview mirror, not in the windshield coming up, unless they know to look for it. So it's just, that's really powerful and profound to figure out, well, where are you unavailable? And we're getting this lesson for a reason. It's not to punish you. It's not because you're a bad and worthless person and you bring no benefit. That's not it. It's literally the hangnail on the silk blouse. It's like, what do you need to see? What do you need to heal? Who do you need to be? What do you need to, you know, and the answer is just you, uniquely you, but healed and feeling good about yourself. And I say it all the time, when people don't know their own value, and they start to notice that other people may pull back or pull away or something. And there's all kinds of dynamics that lead to that. But I think the first step is asking a better question, like, what do I need to see here? What's happening for me?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much. It's unfortunate I only have you for about a half an hour here. But it's really understanding, and number one, oftentimes, where do a lot of these wounds that we've been talking about, where do they tend to come from most often?
That's the million-dollar question. So most of the time, a lot of these wounds happen in the first 7 years of life. Your expectations are created when you're very small, and you know you rely on other people for your care. And so you're pretty much, your ideas about your model of the world, if you will, are formed in your first 7 years. It's a beautiful world where people love and support you and cheerlead you and think you're the best. That's usually, you figure that out before seven. If it's a crappy world where nobody cares about you, or what you want isn't important, or your sister's better than you, or whatever it is, whatever your story is, like that stuff gets kind of grooved into the subconscious at an early age. And then the cool part is, as we, you know, I say cool now because I understand it, like, we will also attract people into our lives to represent these lessons from a different perspective. So they will re-trigger all the same wounds again. A sole purpose that they ever were attracted in is that they have some soul work to do and show you those wounds and re-trigger them from a different perspective. So now you can heal them, show up whole, and get a better result finally. Mm-hmm. If you don't see it, if you're totally unaware of the process, then you're just in it. Like, people can go, I've seen people in later years and they have a string of failed relationships and they never put together, like, oh my God, this and this and this and this and this. They were different people, different idiosyncrasies, but the one commonality, if you will, was like, oh my God, every single time I was abandoned or I was rejected, or they look totally different. Mm-hmm. You have clients who, like, young women who have had, like, had rejection, abandonment issues, and like, it showed up multiple ways. We have one whose partner died, a young man who died, one who moved to Europe, one who, trying to think of some of the other ones, you know, all kinds of different areas where it was essentially the same, one who got transferred and went to another place and got another job and ended the relationship. So it just kept happening that, like, if you looked at that on the face and said, these are all three distinct different partners, they had nothing in common, but it's like, oh shit, yeah, they did have something in common. Every single one of them left for whatever reason. And then it sort of unwinds that whole, what do I bring to the table? What's wrong with me? And all that stuff. So I think it's just really important when you kind of look and you put the pieces together and you see the clues and you're like,
yeah. I remember from the work that you and I had done previously, one of the big things that hit home for me was, oh shit. There's that huge abandonment and rejection. God bless my parents. They were always doing the best they could with what they had. But from an early age, there was a lot of that fear there because of some of the experiences that I had when I was younger. And in my relationships, unconsciously, right, because we don't really think about this stuff, I would become, in a way, fearful of people leaving. I think the analogy was you or another one of my good mentors or friends used was, I was so afraid of losing them that I would hold on even tighter.
Right.
And in doing that, it was suffocating to the other person, where then they wanted to start to move away, which made me want to hold on. And it was so interesting learning some of this, where what's going on within us at an unconscious level, we start to think of all these ways that we could try to manage that, but we don't really realize where it's coming from. And we start to do these things that are counterintuitive. So it's right. So interesting to really kind of, at least from my own perspective, understand what was going on there. And it had nothing to do with him in that sense, in that moment. And the beauty of it was me recognizing, oh, these are my own insecurities. These are my own values and my own self-worth, right? Things that are coming up for me and how I feel about me and how I'm showing up in this relationship.
Right.
That was huge.
I would tell you that is probably the number one self-sabotaging aspect of feminine and masculine. And I know you know this already, but like, if you were at the shopping mall and somebody ran up to you and grabbed your wrist, before you even thought of it, you would pull your wrist away because no one wants to be grabbed, especially when you don't expect it and you don't know who it is, right? And so intuitively, you already know that in another area of your life. And it's the same thing in a relationship, especially feminine to masculine. There's a strong part of the masculine in the DNA of, like, it's all about freedom. It's all about independence and this need to be free. And so that unconscious clutching that you're doing, don't go away, don't go away. Or, and women do it on a first date all the time, like, I don't know, do you like me? I'm not sure if you like me. Do you like me? He didn't ask me out again. Is he going to ask me? It's Tuesday. He said he was going to call. He hasn't called yet. And they go into this need to define. And to not be able to sit in a little bit of uncertainty for a little bit of time until it gets to the point where it's like, yeah, this is going really good. I think she's amazing. I want to see her more. And then it becomes more disgust or whatever. But I think that need to define, that need for certainty in the body, it's so understandable because the number one need for the feminine is to feel safe. If the feminine doesn't feel safe, nothing happens. All bets are off. So in order for her to feel safe, she needs to define and figure out what it is. In order for him to feel free, which is his highest need, one of them, he needs to be free. He needs to sit and not have that defined an hour after he met you for the first time. He can sit in a little ambiguity there because he's like, wow, she's incredible. I'd like to see her again. And at some point, he will trade his freedom for something better, but he's got to figure out if you're something better first before he's willing to make that trade. A lot of ladies get uncomfortable with that sitting in the unknown because, again, it just pokes at those little insecurities and those that need for safety. So it's totally understandable, and it happens again and again and again.
Yeah.
So probably the number one sabotage.
Yeah, and I love that you bring this up, because I know for a lot of the female listeners, and even for the men out there that are listening and they're starting to understand their women in a different way, it was profound for me to realize that, oh, this has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with me. And the minute that I started to do the work on myself and work on my own insecurities, which is where I felt less safe, it was becoming so whole in a sense to where I feel amazing in who I am. I love who I am. This is just great. And it was interesting because I didn't care if he was gone or if he left or he did these things where before it would drive me crazy because I was so insecure about it.
Right.
And what was
and then when he comes back, you're more beautiful and he can't wait to be with you because you're in that place of feeling good.
Exactly. And it was just magic. Why you're so like attracted to me right now? What's going on? Like, I need to go get some work done.
Yeah. It's so, like the boomerang. You put it out and it comes back right back to you. What you believe about yourself comes right back. And
absolutely.
Interestingly enough, what I heard you say there earlier was like, you know, if I could just fix him, it would all be fine. I don't want to fix me. But you know, that's the tendency. Most people, we think that someone else is misbehaving because their behavior didn't match our expectations. Rather than change the expectation of the behavior, they'd rather try to change another person. And I seldom see that work out well for either party. Because the reality in relationship is people want to be seen and appreciated, seen, heard, and appreciated for who they are, as they are, without having to change. And too often we feel like, oh, there's my next project. I'm going to fix him up. No, no. That's terrible energy. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be your project, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes on both sides, you know? No one wants to be perfected or nitpicked to death. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I think the biggest thing for our listeners to really take away from all of this is understanding that the relationships that you have in your life are really, it's almost like holding up a mirror so you can start to see the pieces in you that maybe need some love, need some attention. And it's not going out and fixing and trying to find other people or blaming other people or anything outside of you. It's doing the internal work to really start to heal yourself and feel magnificent and incredible, whether you're a man or a woman, to where you're confident, and that starts to reflect in every other area of your life.
Absolutely. And I think the great thing about it too is it puts you in a place of, like, every single time, abundance is always going to be better than scarcity. My clients start to lose their objectivity and they start to struggle and get uncomfortable as soon as they're like, I only have one way to make this work, and that's with this person in this way, and he has to call me this many times a day, and when he says he's going to call, I'm like, wow, we're really defining that down. We're cutting it pretty fine here. Only one way to work when there, it's a planet of a billions of potential partners. Some who may be way better than this person who you think is great, but it's just being able to sit in a little bit of ambiguity. And I think falling in love with people for who they are and appreciate looking for what's great. I think the other challenge that I see all the time is, especially when one has been wounded in the past and it's unresolved, they're busy looking like, all right, first sign of him being a jerk, I'm out. And if you go looking for it, I was talking with a client just a couple of hours ago, it's like, as soon as you have a belief, now you become a detective and you go looking to collect evidence. So you put your evidence up, say, look, he didn't call me. He said he's going to call me, didn't call me. That goes in the evidence bag. And then you start, pretty soon, you've got all kinds of evidence to support the belief. If you didn't have that belief, you wouldn't be finding that evidence. You wouldn't be stringing it together. So you know, that's that whole, as you believe, so you receive. If somebody actually turned that around on me recently, asked me a question. Like, I said something about a community where I was working, and they said, who would you be if you didn't have that belief? And I was like, ooh, you're right. Because as soon as I have that belief, I go searching for validation of that belief, right? And so I become an evidence collector too, rather than I could be sitting in appreciation, I could be feeling good. But as soon as I go out looking for evidence, now I got to go and feel like crap too, because I was successful in finding what I don't like, don't want, and don't want to experience. But I went looking for it like an idiot, right? So if you don't like it, stop looking for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge. And so thank you again so much for taking the time to hop on and really give some of the insights, the wisdoms to a lot of our listeners. I know that they're sitting probably thinking about, crap, I've been pointing all the fingers and I need to be looking at me.
Yeah, I think that's the best place that we can fix it. And again, I think it's ultimately for our highest and best good to just go in and do that work and feel good every day for their own reasons and not put yourself in this situation where you're literally, you're at the mercy of someone else's good moods or not, whether you're going to feel good or have a good day. And I think that doesn't bode well for people that want to just go out and joyfully create and be, do, and have and create the kind of life that people that are listening and paying attention to what we do, what they want, right? Mm. You can't really get there from that place.
Yeah. So I love that you brought this up. I think this is such a great point. And just to add into that, it's really understanding that when you're able to live from a place of abundance, right? We've mentioned this a few times, a place of being whole, of really loving who you are, of just not depending on somebody else showing up in a bad mood or being angry, regardless of what's happening outside of you, you still show up unaffected and in your magnificence. And because of that, you can start to create so many more opportunities, whether it's in your relationship, your business, your life, your finances, because you're no longer living at the effect of what's happening outside of you, but you're causing an effect because of who you're choosing to be inside.
Right. And I think the other beautiful part of that too is rather than getting hijacked by someone's bad day, I think if we can gracefully hold the space for someone, I think that's the most beautiful gift sometimes. And we all have all different kinds of emotions. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's frustration, sometimes it's just, I don't want to talk about it. And then you just give it a little space, and then, like, especially men, they could go off to the cave, they solve the problem, then they come out and they forget about it. It's fine, they just need that. But I think if we can gracefully hold that space where we can let someone feel whatever they need to feel, not making it wrong, not judging it as wrong, judging them as wrong for having it, and just it lets them feel it, process it, and let it go a lot faster. And I think people genuinely appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Rather than being told, you're always in a bad mood. No one needs that. No one needs to be lectured.
Absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for hopping on the show. And for our listeners, because I know they love the content that you're bringing on board here, if they wanted to find out more about you or really just dive deep into what you have to teach and some of your philosophy, where can they go to find you, or how can they follow you or find out more about you?
So I already mentioned the Man Magnetic site where they get all those free videos about masculine and feminine energy. But then also my regular website is legendaryloveforlife.com. And that's just got a bunch of mostly relationship stuff and plenty of great things there. And I have one other site too. It's for my book. It's called The Catch Your Match Formula for people who are writing dating profiles and wondering why they're not working. Before I got into coaching, I was an award-winning copywriter in that agency. So I basically help people write really effective dating profiles that get results. And even if you don't use it on a dating profile, it's still really good information to have when you're single and out there dating, so that you can put your best foot forward and constantly present yourself in the best light, where you can kind of communicate with people in a way that they can understand, oh, that's who you are. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some great stuff in that book as well. So awesome. Those are just a couple of ways people can find me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, thank you, Dave, so much for hopping on with us today. We really, really do appreciate you taking the time out. You know how busy you are. So for those of you listening, if you like this, if you enjoyed this, go ahead and share it if you know somebody that needs to hear this message. Otherwise, we will catch you on the next episode of the Mind Mastery and Manifestation Podcast. Have an amazing, amazing day, everyone. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.